The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yichu li truma. Speak unto the children of Israel and take for me truma, offerings, contributions, me'et kol isha she'yidvena libei tichwes trumasi. From every person that whose heart will uplift him, take from him offerings, my contributions from him. V'zeis ha'truma asher tichu mi'itom. This is the truma which you shall take from them. Zohar v'chesed v'nechoshes. Gold, silver, copper, scheles. This is a wool which was dyed blue. It was sort of a blue, and it came from the chalozin. The chalozin was a certain creature. The color came from the chalozin. The argoman, this was a wool which was dyed purple. Selashoni, this is a wool which was dyed scarlet. Also, it's possible that the dye came from an insect. It's a question if it came from an insect or from a seed. Vishesh, and linen, v'izim, and goat's hair. V'eris elim v'adomim, and the skins of rams which were dyed red, and the skins of the tachash. The tachash was an animal, Rashi tells us, which was leinivra elalisho. It was created merely explicitly for the purpose of the building of the sanctuary. And then it became extinct. And it was a minchay veloha yisrael elalisho v'harbe gavonim hoyu. It was a type of creature that had many colors. And therefore it was called the sask. Gavna, shesosum ispair begavonim shalei. It was called the sasgavna, which means to rejoice because of the colors. It rejoiced because of its many colored coat. So its skins were created and used explicitly for the Mishkan. The atzei shitim is a type of cedar wood. Shemen lamor, oil for the lights. Besomim the shemen hamishcha, and also the incense to put into the oil which was used for the anointing of all of the vessels of the sanctuary, and also for the to anoint the kahanim, the priests, and so forth, velikteris asamim, and also this was used for the incense which was burnt on the altar. Avnei Sheham, this is a type of a precious stone, the Avnei Meluim, and other types of precious stones, la ephod, which was used for the gown of the robe of the Kohen Gadol of the high priest, for lacheshin and for the breastplate. But also the migdosh v'shochanti b'seichom, and you shall make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. K'chol asher ani mare ischo eistavnis amishkon veistavnis kol kelo v'chein hasu. All that I show you, the plan, the structure of the Mishkan, and of all of its vessels, so shall you do. And then the Torah goes into great detail in this Sedra, and also in the coming Sedras, on the construction of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, and all of its vessels. Now here we begin to learn about the sanctuary, the Mishkan. It was also known as the Mikdosh, as here it's referred to, the Beis HaMikdosh. And this is for the next good few Sedras, all the way to the end of this Sefer Shmos. And the Vayikra, a major portion of Vayikra, deals also with, not necessarily the building of the Mishkan, but with the Aveda, with the services, which took place in the sanctuary, in the Beis HaMikdosh. This Sedra, where Moshe is commanding the people, this took place immediately after the giving of the Torah. If you recall that in the two centuries ago we learned about the giving of the Torah, and at the end of last week also. And after the Moshe received the Torah, and he stayed 40 days on Har Sinai, and then he came down, and there was the episode of the golden calf, which we learn about a little later. He went back up. So he finally came down again, the sages tell us, on Yom HaKippurim. Well, the tzivui, Melechus HaMishkon, the command to tell the people to build the Mishkon, this took place Mochores Yom HaKippurim, on the day after Yom Kippur. In other words, immediately after descending the mountain, the first opportunity possible, Moshe was commanded to instruct the people to start with the building of the Mishkan. As it states in this parsha, Ve'osuli Migdosh, that you shall make for me a sanctuary, this is a mitzvah asei. This is a positive commandment. And this is one of the 613 mitzvahs. And also we are commanded in the Torah that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, and when we inherit Eretz Yisrael, and we have peace in Eretz Yisrael, this was after the wars of conquering Eretz Yisrael and the inheritance, then no longer should we have the sanctuary which was moved from one place to the other, but we should make a permanent home, a permanent Beis HaMikdash, on Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. And there it should be forever. And this was fulfilled by David HaMelech, who laid the plans for it, and by his son Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. And again we are commanded, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and it was rebuilt, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that we are commanded that when the majority of Israel live again in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of the people are in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is under our sovereignty, then again, Be'ezus Hashem, we are commanded to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a mitzvah, a command, one of the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in the Chinuch and Mitzvah Tzadik Hei, speak of these details. Now many people are under the impression that the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, is something which is not relevant to us at all today, since we don't have it. If we don't have it, then we have none of the avoda, none of the services in the Beis HaMikdash. There are even some people who are under the false impression to think that the Beis HaMikdash was a thing totally of the past and never will reappear again. And this is contrary to a multitude of sources in the Torah and in the Nach and the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Rambam and all of the Peskim and in all of our tefillahs, all of our prayers. In all of the tefillahs we constantly, consistently speak that we should merit, we should be zeicher. Should return to Eretz Yisrael, and there we will serve. Okay. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash again. But at any rate, many people feel that even if it will be rebuilt one day when the Mashiach comes, but today it has no relevance. And this is not true. The Beis HaMikdash is something which is an integral part of every Jew's life, whether in practice or in theory, whether realistically or in principle. But it is an integral part of every Jew's life, as we see from the tefillahs. Our prayers are consistently expressed with the avoda, the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and as we see in many sources in the sages. And the Chofetz Chaim, Zocheinu Livrocha, the great Chofetz Chaim, who was the leader of the Jewish people in the last century, he, incidentally, was a Kohen. And he inspired the study of Seder Kodshim, the study of all of the Gemaras, the Mishnah and the Gemaras, that deal with the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, in all of the Kolels of Lithuania during the last century. That the Kolels, which were the very, very top senior graduates, that he went to all of the yeshivas, spoke to the Rosh Yeshivas, that they should set time to study these laws. For two reasons, he said. Firstly, if the Mashiach will come tomorrow, we won't know what to do. Because people who feel this is not relevant today, so therefore they don't study these laws. And here will, he said, what kind of a great embarrassment this will be to us. The Mashiach will come, we'll have the opportunity to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to serve again in the Beis HaMikdash, and we won't know what to do. Secondly, he said, it's not irrelevant. There's a Gemara that states that someone asked a question, a shaila, to a certain scholar, and the question had to do with one of the sections of the Mishnah which was not relevant today. For example, it either had to do with Zroim, the agricultural laws in Eretz Yisrael, which many are only relevant during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, or it had to do with Tumah V'Tahara, certain laws of purity and impurity which are is only relevant then. So he answered and he said, "Bi'arba le'matzino b'shiso matzino," that even in the four sections of the Talmud, which are relevant to us, I am not such a boki, I'm not such an expert. And you are asking me from the Talmud in the other two sections which are not relevant. So the question there is asked, which four sections of the Talmud are relevant today? We know there are three sections that are relevant. We know there's Nezikin. These are the laws which deal with monetary and damaging, laws of monetary and money matters and damages. That's relevant. We know that there's Noshim, all laws which deal with pertaining to laws between men and women. This is relevant. Moed, laws which deal with specific Zmanim, Yom Tovim, Shabbos. This is relevant. But where is the fourth one that's relevant? So on that Rashi says, Kochim. Seder Kochim, the study of the Beis HaMikdash, that's relevant today. Why? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. So Rashi cites the Gemara, Shekol Halemed Hilchis Eila Ki Ilu Hikriv Ola. Because the Gemara tells us that when we had the Beis HaMikdash and we would bring a sacrifice, so we fulfill this mitzvah. When we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, when we study about this sacrifice, we are also fulfilling the service of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Chofetz Chaim cited that in those days, when they didn't learn, they didn't give priority to the laws that were not relevant, they still gave priority to the laws of the Beis HaMikdash. Because we have to live together with the Beis HaMikdash. Whether we have it here realistically or we don't have it here realistically, we must live together with it. It's an integral part of our lives. If we have it, then we fulfill it realistically. If we don't have it, then the Gemara says we fulfill it through studying about it. And these were the two reasons why he went to inspire the study of these laws in the kollels of the yeshivas of Lithuania. At any rate, as we will see, it's not something which is irrelevant or cholil obsolete, but it plays more than a great role in Jewish life. But it plays a very, very major role in Jewish life and Jewish thought and the approach of a Jew towards his belief. Let's go into this a little this evening and see if we can gain some insight into this specific point. The Torah tells us in Bereishis Beis, Posuk Zayin, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es HaOdom. Now this is right at the beginning of the creation of the world, the creation of man. The Kodesh Baruch Hu formed man Es HaOdom Ofer Min HaAdoma, dust from the earth. Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Vayhi HaOdom LeNefesh Chayo, and a person now, the man became a nefesh chaya, a living being. So man was created from two parts. He was created from the dust of the earth, and he was created from a soul on high. Now, we all are aware that this, that he was created from a soul on high, This is something special. He was given an neshama like no other creature was. But the fact that he was created from the dust of the earth, this is not so special. There were many things created from the dust of the earth. This is not so. He also was created in a special manner from the dust of the earth. Rashi tells us, he brings from the sages, Sovar aforem ikola adomem yabri ruches, shebechol mokem shiyoma yishom te kol tose likfura. Kodesh Bahu, which dust did he create man from? Created him from the dust, from the soil. Which soil? So the sages tell us two opinions. One opinion is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered up soil from every part of the world. From every part of the world he gathered up soil, and from this he made man, physical man. Why? Because when man will die and he'll be buried, we want the earth to take man in, to receive him. And therefore, it must be the same earth that he came from. And if he came from one section of soil and he died in another section of the world, there won't be a good burial. Now, what is this referring to? A little later in the Torah, it states in Rashi's Gimel, Pasuk Yutes, Bezeyas apech otech alechem, where man transgressed and he was cursed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread, ad shuvcha el ha'adomah, until you return to the earth. Ki mimenu lukochto, because you were taken from the earth. Ki oferato, ve'al ofeto shuv. You are earth, and you will return to the earth. So here we see that man was made of earth, and he will return to the earth. Now the Gorai explains that he's not buried just as a manner to get him out of the way. Animals also are buried. Yet we don't find that animals were created from every inch of the soil in all the world. This was particular by man. But the burial of man is firstly, this is a perfection in man. From the fact that he was earth, he returns to where he came from, he returns to his origin, and this is a perfection in him. And secondly, this is a security of him, because man will relive. That is the Tchias HaMesim, the time when he will live again. So there must be something that will hold him secure until it's time for him to relive. So this is what is meant by kfura, by burial of man. Not merely that we have to do something with him, we can't leave him lying there. But it is a return. Ki ofer ato, ve'al ofer toshuv, you will return to where you came from. Now, if he is to return where he came from, what happens if he came from soil from North America and he died in Asia? He's not returning to where he came from, and it won't be kalit, it won't perfect, it won't fulfill this function. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made him from the dust of the earth, he gathered up dust from all corners of the world and made man from this. So wherever now he will die, Shom Te Kfurase Koltose, there the earth will receive him. This is one shot, one opinion. Then there's another opinion. Dover Acher, Notel Aforem Mimokim Shenema Mizbeach Adomet Haseli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in another place in the Torah, commanded us that we should make an altar. In the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, we should make an altar. And that also shall be out of earth. Mizbeach Adomet Haseli, it shall be from earth. From the same place where he commanded us to make the altar, this is where he made man from. Halavai teila kapora v'yuchol amid. Man was made from the place where the altar was made from. From the place where the altar was to be. This is the second opinion. On this, The Maral in the Sefer Gurayi asks a very pertinent question. According to the second opinion, so how will his burial work? If the perfect burial can be only when he returns to the earth that he came from, according to the second opinion, he was made from earth from a specific place where the Mizbeach, where the altar was made from. So what happens if he dies in a different place? How will his burial achieve this perfection? So in this he tells us something which gives us an insight into the Beis HaMikdash. He says if he was made from the place where the Mizbeach came from, then we don't have to worry about this other problem. Because the sages tell us that the Mizbeach, the altar, and the Beis HaMikdash came from the earth, which is the foundation of all the earth in the world. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he started with a certain foundation. And that foundation is from where the rest of the world came from. And it was this foundation which is the place of the altar and the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So if man is to be created from that place, then he has this attribute in him where he's representing all of the soil of the world. Because this is the foundation of all of the soil in the world. And there's a second reason also. Sages tell us that the Beis HaMikdash is exactly in the middle of the world. In other words, it came from the very core of the world. And something that's in the middle represents no extremity. Something which is a little to the north, to the south, or to the right, or to the left, this represents an extremity. And therefore it cannot always make peace with something of another extremity. So if he was created from soil from the north, then he would not have a perfect burial if he was buried in soil from the south. But if he's created from the core of the world, which is the exact midpoint, this represents everything in the world. And therefore he can find his burial place anywhere. So that's why we have these two opinions. They're not arguing in principle. They're only arguing where he was made from. But both agreed that he, since Ofer HaTor, that you are made from soil, and therefore you must return to the same soil, everyone agreed that he must be made from the same soil that he's returning to. So one opinion was, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu accomplish this? How can he be made from the same soil that he will always return to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered up a little soil from every section of the world and made man from here. The second opinion was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him from the soil that the altar came from and the soil that the Beis HaMikdash came from, because this is the foundation of the entire world. And this also represents soil of the entire world. So therefore, wherever he will return, it will be to his own soil. So from here we have an insight as to somewhat what the Beis HaMikdash represented. And secondly, what we learn from here is that man is very close to the Beis HaMikdash, because this same level, the same quality that the Beis HaMikdash had, man was created from. So this is very something in close proximity to him. To give a little more emphasis on this particular statement that we are learning, the Rambam brings in Perek Beis of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, HaMizbeach Mekeime Mechuven BeYeser. When we come to build the Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim, we must be very careful where we place the altar, because its place is very important. And never are we allowed to change the place of the altar. Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the place of the altar, you must not change it. And then the Rambam explains what's so important about the place. B'migdush ne'akad Yitzchok Avinu. Because when Avraham came to sacrifice Yitzchok, and he went to Har HaMoriah, so the sages say that was the place where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built, and on that place where he sacrificed Yitzchok, that was the place of the altar. Shnema lech lechol eres Moriah. U'mesedes biyad hakol, שהמקום שבונה בדבר ושלומים המזבח בגרם הרבנו הוא המקום שבונה באברהם המזבח מזבח ואוקרס הכל. And we have by tradition that where David HaMelech, King David and King Solomon built a Beis HaMikdash and placed the altar, they placed it on the same spot where Abraham sacrificed Yitzchok. והוא המקום שבונה בנאה כשיוצא מן הטבע. And even further, when Noah came out of the ark after the flood, he built an altar. This was the same place. And even further back, when Cain Vehevel, the sons of Adam Arishon, the first man, when they brought sacrifices and they built an altar, it was also here. And even the first man, when he sacrificed, he built an altar in the same place. Umisham Nivro. And from here was Adam HaRishon created, from this soil. See, here the Rambam is learning like the second opinion. Omru Chachomim Odom Mimokom Kaparosei Nivro. Man was created from the soil which would bring him atonement, because it was the Mizbeach that brought him atonement. So we see that the Beis HaMikdash was the core of the world and the central point of the world. And man is a close proximity to this, that he was created from the same place. Now we'll go a little further. In Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov was fleeing from Esav, the sages tell us that when he ran away from Esav, first he went to a Beis HaMedrash. He went to a yeshiva to study. And there he studied day and night for 14 years. And this was the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, the righteous son of Noach. And then as he left the yeshiva, and he was going on his way now to his father's family to look for a wife, so he came to a certain place, and it was nightfall, and he went to sleep. And he had a dream, and he saw a ladder, which the base was on the land, on the base was on the earth, and the head of the ladder went into the heavens. And the angels of Hashem were going up and down the ladder. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu was on top of, was standing over him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all types of promises and brachas and so forth. Vayikat Yaakov Mishnose. Yaakov woke up from his sleep. Vayeme Ochein Yesh Hashem B'mokam Hazeh. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in this place. Vanechi LaYadoti. And I didn't know it. Vayiro, and he feared very much. Vayemar, and he said, Manera B'mokam Hazeh. How great and fearful and mighty is this place. Ein Zekim Beis Elakim V'zeh Shar HaShomoyim. This is the house of Hashem, and these are the gates to heaven. So Yaakov recognized that the place that he was sleeping was not just a place, but Ein Zeki Im Beis Elokim. This is the house of Hashem. The Gemara tells us that this was the place where the Beis HaMikdash was to be built. So Yaakov recognized that he was sleeping in the Mokam HaMikdosh, in the place of the Beis HaMikdosh. What does it mean, V'zeh Shar HaShomoyim? We understand what it means, Beis Elokim, this is the house of Hashem. But what does it mean, V'zeh Shar HaShomoyim? These are the gates to heaven. So Rashi tells us, firstly, Mokam Tfila La'asis Tfilosam HaShomoyim, that the prayers will be received better at this place than any other place. And the Beis HaMikdash always was known for the place to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Mokom HaTfila to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it's the gate to heaven, because a prayer goes to heaven. Where is the gate? So the gates of heaven are right by the Beis HaMikdash. So this is telling us a little more now. And now Rashi brings the second interpretation. Umidroshay she Beis HaMikdash shel malo mechuven keneged Beis HaMikdash shel mato. That there are really two Beis HaMikdashes. There are really two temples. There's one in this world, and there's one in the upper world. There's the physical one and the spiritual one. Where is the spiritual one? The spiritual one is exactly above the physical one. And this is what Yaakov recognized. So he said, Ein Zekim Beis Elokim, this is the house of Hashem here, Zeh Shaar HaShamayim, and directly above are the gates to heaven. Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo Mechuven Keneged Beis HaMikdash Shel Mato. The Beis HaMikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual Beis HaMikdash, is exactly over the physical Beis HaMikdash. So we see a little deeper now. That from the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the physical world was created. And this was the core of the world. Why? Because directly, parallel to that place, is the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. In other words, this would be the link that would bring the two worlds together. And now we understand better why Zeh Mokom HaTfila, this is the place where the prayers are received. Because this binds and links the upper world with the lower world. So what it seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has his Beis HaMikdash Lemalo. He has his dwelling place above. But he wanted to bring his dwelling place down here also. So he made a Beis HaMikdash Shalmato. And he wanted to join these two worlds. And therefore, directly below the Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo, he made the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mato. And man also is like this. Because we spoke about man being created from the soil. But in that same pasuk, it states that man also was created from El Malo. Man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blew into his nostrils a soul from above. And he made him from the soil below. Now man was created also from above and also from below. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an abode above and he has an abode below. So the Beis HaMikdash therefore was a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring himself into this world. And by doing so, joining these two worlds together. We'll go to another source. The Medrash tells us in Parshas Truma, Lama Dalet Aleph. B'shosha ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Meisha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Meisha, Ase li mishkon, make for me a sanctuary. Hishil matmiya. Moshe couldn't understand. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean, we shall make a sanctuary for him? And he said, Kfeidi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mole elyonim v'tachtenim, v'hu eimer aseh l'mishkon. The place of the Almighty fills the entire world. The entire upper world and the entire lower world. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we shall make a Mishkan, a sanctuary, a dwelling place for him. We owed, and also what was very difficult to Moshe, Hoy Mistakel V'Raya, Moshe saw in prophecy, Sheshleima Emir Ubeine Beis HaMikdash Hu Godel Min HaMishkan, that there would come a day when King Solomon would rebuild the sanctuary, and he would make it into the Beis HaMikdash, which was far greater than the Mishkan. And even Shleima Melech would say, and this is in Malachim Aleph, Perech Ches, Posuk Chof Zayin, Shleima Melech said when he built the Beis HaMikdosh, Ki ha'umnam yeshev elekim al oretz, I'm going to build the Beis HaMikdosh so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should dwell on the land. Hine ha'shomayim u'shmei ha'shomayim lo yechal kelucha. The heavens and the heavens of the heavens cannot hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af ki abayis hazeh asher bonisi. So therefore the abode that I will build for him out of stone and out of wood, this will hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the entire heavens and the heavens cannot hold the Almighty. So how can the house that I build hold him? So Moshe saw this in prophecy. And now Moshe said, Uma Beis HaMikdash Hu Yesa V'Yesa Min HaMishkan Shleima Im Akein, the Beis HaMikdash, which is far greater in height and in width and in lavishness than the Mishkan. And still Shleima said this, so Mishkan Allah has come and become. So how much more so? What will HaKadosh Baruch Hu do with this Mishkan? L'kach Omer Moshe. Therefore Moshe said, we have a pasuk that we're all familiar with. Yeshiv b'seiser elyon b'tzel shaddai yisleinun. Yeshiv b'seiser elyon. He who dwells b'seiser. He who dwells elyon al kol b'yosef, who is greater than everyone. B'tzel shaddai yisleinun. He will dwell in the shadow of Shaddai. What does that mean? He will dwell in the shadow, the Medrash says, of Bezalel. Bezalel was the one who was the chief architect of the Mishkan. Yeshiv b'seiser elyon, the one who dwells in the greatest secrecy, and above all creation, he will dwell in the shadow of Bezalel in the Mishkan. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu answered Moshe. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lei Kishem Sha'ato Sover Kach Ani Sover. Not like you think, do I think. You think that I need a world to live in. Because since Molei Chola Eilam Kfeidei, my presence fills the entire world and more. So I need an entire world to live in. Not so. Ela Chof Kerish B'Tzofin V'Chof B'Dorim V'Ches B'Marav. 20 beams to the north, in the north, and 20 in the south, and 8 in the west, that's sufficient for me to dwell in. And these were the beams of the Mishkan. And not only that, but I will come down, and I will atzamtzim, I will limit my shechina, my presence, my holy presence, in one amma by one amma. And it's brought to this amma by amma. This was the amma which was above, some say above the Oren HaKodesh. Because later on the Parsha tells us that when Moshe wanted to speak to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, where did he go? He went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the most holy part of the Mishkan. And there was the Oren HaKodesh. And that's what held the Sefer Torah and the tablets. And above the Oren HaKodesh were the two kruvim. These were the two images that looked at each other. And it states that the voice of Hashem came through the Kruvim, from the Oren through the Kruvim. And the base of the Kruvim, and here, from this place, this Amo al Amo, which was an Amo by an Amo, came the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't need a world to live in. 20 beams on the north, and 20 on the south, and 8 on the west. This is sufficient for me to live in. And not only that, but I can be atzamtzei mishkinosi. I can limit my holy presence even to an arm, to an arm breath by an arm breath. This is what he told Moshe Rabbeinu. So here we have further. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he lived be'elyonim. Yeshiv b'seiser elyon. He lived above everything. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to come into this world. He wasn't satisfied that his presence should be only lamala. So the purpose of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash is that he'll have a place to come in this world. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand this, and Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, couldn't understand this, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that your logic is not like my logic. A great physical king needs a great physical palace. See, I don't. And even Amala Amma, I'll find my place in this Mishkan. So here we see a little further that the function, the achievement of the Mishkan, that it brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. There's another medrash, a very interesting medrash. Here also, in Parshas Truma, medrash tells us, this is in Parshas Lamed Hei. Lamed Hei Aleph. There were many creations which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, created, but the world was not befitting to merit these creations. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took these creations and hid them away. What's one example, the Medrash says? Or Shenivra B'yom HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created a wonderful light on the first day of creation. And that was such a bright light, Odom Seifo Mabit B'yomi Seifo Elam HaTseifo. Such a bright light that it gave man the capability to see from one end of the world to the other. Given Shinistakal HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'deira Shalena Shul B'dora Mabla B'dora Flogo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked down through the generations and he saw what kind of generations there would be, there was the generations that rebelled against him and the generations of the flood and so forth. He said, no. He said, this light is too wonderful for this world. Omad V'gonzu. So he took the light away and he hid it. And it states that, and instead, he brought the sun. This light was so perfect that the Medrash says, it could never inflict harm on a person. The sun is perhaps our most wonderful physical asset. From it we get our energy, our heat. But still it can be mazik. It can be heavily damaging. This light couldn't damage. It was only good for people. Heichen Gonzo, where did he hide it? In Gan Eden. And he hid it for the tzaddikim, for the righteous, in the world to come. And that's what it states, Or Zorua La Tzaddik, a great light for the righteous. So there were some creations which this world was not capable of dealing with, and therefore they were concealed. Then the Medrash tells us, on the other hand, there were some creations which also the world was not capable of dealing with. The world was not perfect enough for these creations, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not hide them, did not conceal them for a different reason. Some of these things should have been concealed, but he did not conceal them. Because of his honor. He wanted to show his honor in this world, therefore he did not conceal it. What's an example? Zohov, gold. We know that gold plays a very great role in the world. In South Africa, we're very cognizant of it. South Africa was blessed as to one of the greatest sources of gold in the world. And we know that gold always played a very great role in the world. There's a debate between the economists if gold is something which has an intrinsic value. Does it actually have a special value? Or does it have merely a market value because there's a demand for it? So that's why it has a value. But if there wouldn't be a demand for it, then it would be a piece of rock like all other rocks. The Medrash tells us no. Gold has an intrinsic value and always had an intrinsic value. Not only did it have such an intrinsic value, but it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said really is not for this world. And he should have concealed it. But he had a reason why he didn't. Omar Ababol, Tova Gedola Cholak HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'elam Lomay Bizov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a great kindness to the world when he gave it gold. Yeshodim paid it Zuhuv Echod V'umeitzi Mimena Kam Yetzias. A person can take a little gold and he can have panosa from it. V'zav O'oretz Ahi Tov states in the beginning by the creation of the world that the gold of this land, it's referring to a certain land there, is good. And wherever it says Tov in the Torah, we know that means something which is already of a very, very high level. A level higher than this world. For example, by the Torah it says Tov. By Meisher Rabbeinu it says they saw he was Tov. And then the Medrash elaborates. In Omar Rav Shimon Lokish, Lo Hoya Ila Barui Lishtamish Bezov. The world was not befitting to use gold. No. V'loma Nivra. So then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it? Bishvil HaMishkon U'Bishvil Beis HaMikdash. For his honor. Because he wanted a place to live in this world. And that was going to be the Mishkon and the Beis HaMikdash. And he commanded that there should be much gold used in the Mishkon and the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore even though the world was not ready to merit this, and it should have been concealed, Blagon, he did not conceal it. Then the Medrash tells us another example. Omer b'chanina lo hayo aylam ro'i lishtamish ba'arozim. Really, the cedar. Now it brings here, the Medrash brings, that there are chov dalet mini arozim, 24 different species of cedar trees. Ve'en lachom meshubach mikulin el azayin. And there are seven which are the best, the most praiseworthy. The cedar trees were too good for this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to conceal them. But he didn't. Le Nivro, he created them Bishvil HaMishkon and Bishvil Beis HaMikdash. Because of his Mishkon and his Beis HaMikdash. Now here we have another level of understanding. If something is not befitting for the world, this means that it's coming from a higher level. It's beyond the limitation of the world. Like this great light that was created on the first day of creation. So it means that gold is really something which is beyond the level of this world. And the same with the arozim, the cedar trees. But still HaKadosh Baruch Hu used them in the Mishkon. This means that he wanted to build his sanctuary not only from materials which are from this world, but he wanted to build the sanctuary from materials which are beyond this world. Therefore he used gold and he used cedar, which are materials higher and beyond this world. And why is that? As we said, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a place up high. But he wanted to make himself a dwelling place here, which he would come and live here. If he would come and live here, and he's coming from a different world, then it must be an abode also that has materials not only limited to this world, but also above this world and beyond this world. The Gemara in Masechta Erevin, the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara observes that the sanctuary was given two names. Here in our parsha, starts by being called Mishkan. States Excuse me, it starts by being called Mikdosh. You also leave Mikdosh, make for me a Mikdosh. Then it states, Estavnis HaMishkon, in accordance to the plan of the Mishkon. Ikre Mikdosh, Ikre Mishkon. It's called a Mikdosh and it's called a Mishkon. It has two names. What's the significance of those two names? Really, when we give some thought to it, those two names are just contrary to each other. Mikdosh is the word kodosh. Kodosh, Rashi tells us all the time, means dovar anifred, dovar anivdel, something which is beyond us, something which is separated from us. So Mikdosh means a place which is separated from us. Mishkon comes from the word shochein, to live, to dwell. Vishochanti b'seichom. So Mishkan means a place where they will dwell with you. So they're seemingly contradictory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to come into this world. To come into this world, he needed a place to stay. Therefore it was called Mishkan. Make for me a Mishkan, v'shochanti b'seichom, that I might dwell with you. So this is the dwelling place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and dwelled in this world, then something happened to this world. The world was uplifted. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't dwell in this world, then this world would be completely separated from the other world. From the fact that he comes into this world, so now the entire world is uplifted. He sanctifies the entire world, especially the place where he is. This is what Mikdosh means. Mikdosh, the word kodosh, means sanctified. It becomes above people. And this is why we find that the place of the Mikdosh states, as Mikdoshai tirou, you shall fear my Mikdosh. Yira yisera nitztavo al ha-Mikdosh, al mokam ha-Mikdosh. We were commanded to have extra respect for the place of the Mikdosh. Because if that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dwelling place, so then it becomes uplifted, it becomes sanctified, it becomes nivdal, separated from people. Therefore, as Mikdoshai, is Mikdoshi tiro'u, you shall fear my Mikdosh. And there are all kinds of halachos how we're supposed to deal. The Gemara says, for example, you don't go to the Mikdosh, Beis HaMikdosh, if you're not in the utmost state of purity. And even if you are, you don't walk into the Beis HaMikdosh with your shoes that you were walking outside with, and you don't walk in with your money belt, and so forth and so on. So this is the meaning of the words Mishkan and Mikdosh. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin, in Perek Gira Noshe, that Yaakov Avinu played a special role in the Beis HaMikdosh, in the creation of it. What we quoted before from Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov said, "Ein zekim Beis Elokim." This is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu always referred to it as his house. Zebesi, this is my house. In many psukim and many of the scriptures, it states, this is my house. Abraham referred to it as a mountain. When he went to sacrifice Yitzchak, it says, Vayar hahor merochek, Vayar amok merochek. And he called it the Har Elokim Yiro'eh, the mountain of Hashem. So he referred to it as a mountain. Yitzchak, the Torah tells us, when he met Rivka, he was losuach basodeh. He was being mispalel, he was davening, he was praying in the sodeh, in the field. The sages say this was the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So there it was referred to as a field. Yaakov said, Beis Elokim, this is the house of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I will not call it a mountain, like Avraham called it. I will not call it a field, like Yitzchak called it. I will call it a house, like Yaakov called it. Now why? So according to what we've explained, it's a very simple reason. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted a dwelling place. He cannot dwell on a mountain. He cannot dwell in a field. So he wanted a home. Therefore, he called it a bais. But what was the great achievement? Why couldn't Avraham think of that? Why couldn't Yitzchak think of that? This wasn't merely a case of giving it a label, of giving it a name. Avraham, through his great achievements, managed to create from the Beis HaMikdash a mountain, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could come to in this world. But a mountain is not a place where one lives. You can come periodically. More than that, Avraham did not achieve. Yitzchak achieved more because he built on the foundations of his father Avraham. And he made this place into a field. A field now is more civilized. It's not a mountain. You can work in the field. You can plant. But still it's not a home. People don't live on the field. It was through Yaakov's achievements who made it into a bais. And therefore he said that Leiki Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Leiki Yitzchak, I will not call it like Avraham and not like Yitzchak, but like Yaakov. And we see also Yaakov played a very special role. The Maral says in his Gurari that the Chazal tell us here in Parshas Truma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, Atzei Shitim, that we must have materials of wood, of cedar, because all of the beams, which was the structure of the Mishkan, were from wood. So the Chazal asked, Rashi brings, this was in the desert. It was after they left Egypt. Where did they get the wood from? So Rashi tells us that the wood came from Yaakov Avinu. Came from Yaakov. Pirish Reb Tanchuma, Yaakov Avinu Tzofa Beruach HaKedish HaAsid in Yisrael Livnais Mishkan Bamidbor. Yaakov, before he left Eretz Yisrael to go down to Egypt to see Yosef, he saw through prophecy that the children will be called upon to build a Mishkan in the desert. V'hevi arozin l'mitzrayim. So therefore he brought saplings from Canaan, from Eretz Yisrael. He brought young saplings of cedar with him to Egypt. Venotam, and he planted them in Egypt. And he commanded his sons, he said that I'm going to die, and one day you'll be called out, you'll be taken out of Egypt, cut down these trees and take them with you. You'll need them in the desert. That's where the wood came from. So we see it came from Yaakov. The Maral writes it wasn't coincidental that it came from Yaakov, because this wood was the structure. This wood was the foundation of the Mishkan. And Yaakov was the foundation of the Mishkan. The fact is, the sages refer to Yaakov as the Bria HaTichun. There was one beam that went all the way around the Mishkan, which held it all together. This was Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov was the one who achieved the perfection of Yisrael. This means he achieved making it into a home. This means he achieved bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have a place in this world. And even through the great achievements of Abraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a mountain in this world. Through Yitzchok he had a field in this world. But through Avraham he had a bayis in this world. Through Yaakov he had a bayis in this world. He was the one who achieved the Yerides HaShchina, bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. And this he achieved through bringing the perfection of Yisrael. He united, he was the one who united Yisrael, his 12 sons, and united them together and united them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when it came to the structure of the Mishkan, the wooden beams, which was the very foundation, these were the ribs of the Mishkan, these were prepared by Yaakov. One final point, and this is very important. The building of the Mishkan, we see, comes only after the giving of the Torah. The people were not commanded to build a Mishkan in Egypt, or were they commanded to build a Mishkan immediately after they went out of Egypt? But only after the giving of the Torah. By Yaakov Avinu also. When Yaakov had his dream, and he said, Ein zekim beis elokim v'zeh shara shemayim, he realized this is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are the gates of heaven. It means at that time he achieved this greatness of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. But this took place only after he returned from the house, from the Yeshiv of Shem Ve'Ever, where he studied for 14 years. The fact is, right there the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayetze, it states that he came to this place, Vayishkav Bamokam Ahu, and he slept here. And the sages say, here he slept. But for the 14 years before, he never slept. He just dozed, because he was studying by day and by night. So when did Yaakov achieve this Mishkan? Also, only after Torah. We find also, at the Pesach Seder, we have a piyut, a poet, a poem, a song that we sing, which is called Dayenu. And there it goes through the 15 Ma'aleis Tovos, the 15 great attributes, gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael. Took us out of Egypt and so forth. States he gave us the Torah, and then he brought us to Eretz Yisrael, who bonu lonu as Beis HaBachira, and built for us the Beis HaMikdosh. So again we see that the final attribute, the greatest perfection, which is the Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdosh, came after the giving of the Torah. Why do we see it always comes after the giving of the Torah? Why couldn't it come before the giving of the Torah? The answer to this is something which is very, very important and gives us very great, very deep insight. The building of the Beis HaMikdosh, as we've learned, is not merely building a physical structure. but rather building a structure which is physical and spiritual to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, where he can be mitzamtzem himself, he can limit himself to live here. And by doing this, we combine both worlds. This is what Yaakov saw, Sulam Mutzav Arzo. He saw a ladder, one end was on this place, and the head was in the heaven. This achievement comes only through Torah. It can come only by Torah, not without Torah. This we see from several sources. One we see here in the Medrash. The Medrash tells us in the beginning of Parshas Truma, a medrash we've quoted many times. Why do we find that at the end of Parshas Mishpatim we're learning of the giving of the Torah, and then at Parshas Truma we're learning of the building of the Mishkan? What is the smichus aparshas? What is the relation between one and the other? So the medrash tells us, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yisrael, Mochati lechem teirosi, kaviyochel nimkati imo. I have sold you my Torah. On Sinai I gave you my Torah. It's as if I sold you myself also. Why? Moshe l'melech shoyis l'bash yechido. There was a king who had an only daughter. Bo'echod min ha'malochim v'nadhotel, betolo. So a young king came along and he married her. After all of the festivities, Bikesh Leilech Leila Artsoy Ulita Lishtai, he wanted to return to his land and take his new wife with him. Omalei, so the king said, Biti Shunasati Loch Yuzocho Yechidoshi, the daughter which I have given to you, she's my only daughter. Lifrish Mimena in Yochel, I cannot be separated from her. If you'll take her away from me, I'll die of broken heart. Leimelocho Al Title. On the other hand, to tell you that you cannot take her, any yochel afishi ishtecho, I can't tell you that because she's your wife. So elezu teva aseli, do me this favor. Shekol mokum sha'ata haylech kitun echod aseli she'ador etzlochem. She'ni yochel lo'aniach esbiti. Wherever you go, build a little house for me also, because I cannot live without my daughter. So the king went, the young prince went, he took his new wife, and wherever he went, he always built on a little flat, so the king could come and stay also with his daughter. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say. After he gave Torah to Israel, he said, Nosati lechem es hatera. I have given you the Torah now. It's my only daughter. Lifrei sheimeno eini yochel. To separate myself from her, I cannot. Leim lechem al titluha, eini yochel. To tell you that you cannot take the Torah, I can't, I already gave it to you. Ele bechol mokum sha'atem holchim bais echod asuli she'edor b'seichoi. So therefore, wherever you go, build a little house that I may come and dwell with the Torah. And that's what it states, v'osuli migdosh, make for me a sanctuary. This is why, immediately after the giving of the Torah that we had at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, V'osuli Migdosh, command the people in the making of the Migdosh. So what do we see? We see that we didn't need the Migdosh before the Torah was given, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not prepared to come and live in this world. The only reason why he came to live in this world, the king, the great king, was not interested in going and living by this foreign young king. He had no interest. But because this other young king has taken his daughter, now he must go along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no interest to come and live in this world. But because he gave Torah to this world, now he must come along. And only through Torah can he come along. And that's why he says, Mocharti loch es hatera kaviyochol
I sold you my Torah, it's as if I sold myself with it. When you took Torah, not only did you take Torah, you took me also. Because I am inseparable from Torah. We have another source to this. The Medrash tells us in Parshas Lamed Gimel, Ches, states Torah Tziva Lona Meisha. Meisha commanded us the Torah. Torah Tziva Lona Meisha Meirasha Kihilish Yaakov. It is an inheritance to the congregations of Yaakov. So the Medrash says, "Meirasha al tikre al tikere meirasha elame eiroso." Don't call it a meirasha, an inheritance, but call it a meiroso. Meiroso means a woman who is betrothed. Why? Ma chosin ze kolzman shele nosa arusose. Who have a Pradodin, the base chomov, when a chosim becomes an orus, an arusa. Orus and arusa was a type of an engagement that they had. But it was stronger than an engagement. They were actually married, but it was before chupa. So therefore, she still lived, the kala still lived in her home, and he still lived in his home. Later, when they would make the chupa, then he would take her to his home. That was the chuppah when she would come to his home. So the Medrash says that as long as he's a chosin, where it's just an erusin, you just have this type of engagement. Hu haves pradorun lebeis chomov. He's always a guest in the father-in-law's house. He always comes to spend a lot of time in the father-in-law's house because that's where his kala is. But the father-in-law never comes to visit him in his house. Mishenoso. But once he marries the daughter, Hare Havio Bo Etzlo, then her father comes to visit him. Kach, so is it with Torah. Atzilei Nitna Torah Yisrael, until Torah was given to Yisrael, states Meisha Ol Elakim. Meisha went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come down to Yisrael. Misha Nitnu Torah, but once Torah was given to Yisrael, make for me a sanctuary that I might dwell amongst you. Therefore it is called Meirosa. Before Torah was given, Meisha went to Hashem. After Torah was given, this Jew HaKadosh Baruch Hu also to Israel. And therefore they had to make a Mishkan. And then the Medrash tells us also, in Lamed Gimel, Os Beis, V'osu Arein Arsei Shitim, Ma HaTorah Kedumah L'chol Kach B'Maisa Migdash Yikdim Es Oren L'Kol HaKelim. The first article to be made in the Mishkan was the Oren HaKodesh, because the Torah was the prime of the Mishkan. And of all of the crowns, the Torah in the Oren was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was in the most holiest place. No other Kelim were there. And the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came from there. So here we see another step. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a place to dwell in this world. He didn't want to be only in an abstract world. So he created a Mishkan, a place which is directly beneath his Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo. And that is the center of the world. And that's the core of the world. And there he had man created from. That was the soil that man was created from. And through the great achievements of the Ovis of Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, they created a place where he could come in this world. Brought that they carry HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their shoulders because they created a place for him. This was the Shekhinah, V'shochanti B'seichon. And as he came to dwell in this world, the entire world was uplifted. And this is Mishkan, the Shekhinah, and this is Mikdosh, It became sanctified. And therefore the Mishkan was created and built not only from materials from this world, but from materials which were above this world. But we find the building of the Mishkan always after the giving of the Torah. Yaakov came to this achievement after he studied for 14 years. After the giving of the Torah was the Mishkan. The Beis HaMikdash was only after going into Eretz Yisrael. Because it was the Torah which drew the Shekhinah into this world. Because there was Torah here, then there was a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why the sages tell us Mishachora Beis HaMikdash Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Dalalam Shel Halochel Bilvad. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dwelling place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dwelling place is in the four cubits of Torah. This doesn't mean that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash his dwelling place was not in the four cubits of Torah. I once heard someone explain this, a great Rosh Yeshiva, a Bigdal Yeshor, in the name of the Maral. Doesn't mean that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then his dwelling place wasn't in the Dalet Amos Shel Torah. The whole Shekhinah came into the world, into the Beis HaMikdash, only because of the Torah. But what it means is before the Beis HaMikdash, then there was no tangible place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he could only be found in Torah. With the building of the Beis HaMikdash, now there was a tangible home for him. Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, but once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then the Shekhinah had to return to the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, to the four cubits of Torah. And this is why the Gemara tells us that Le'elam, even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the kingship was destroyed and we were exiled from our land, but Bote Kinesios and Bote Midroshes, the shuls and the Beis HaMidrash, the shuls, the Gemara tells us, is a Mikdash Miyat. This is a replica of the Beis HaMikdash. The shuls and the Beis HaMidrash, where Torah was studied, and the Tfilos, they never ceased from Klal Yisrael. Never. Torah never ceased from Klal Yisrael, whether it was in Eretz Yisrael or Golos. Torah had its manifestation. It had its full expression. It had its full beauty during the time of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. When it was Churban, when it was destroyed, then again it retreated only to the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, to the Beis HaMidrash and to the Bote Knesios. But there it was always. There it never ceased. Now from here we learn, we started by saying that many people think that today the Beis HaMikdash is not relevant to us. We see it has a great relevance. It has a great relevance to man. Man was created from where the Beis HaMikdash was. And the Chazal Darshan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build for me a Mishkan, he did not say, V'shachanti b'seichai, that I may dwell there, V'shachanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. And the sages and the rabbis teach that for the full expression of the Shekhinah in this world, this we need the Beis HaMikdash. But everyone has a degree of the Beis HaMikdash in him, in his soul. Because he was created from that place and the Shekhinah dwells there. So in accordance to his deeds is the greatness of the degree of the Shekhinah. In accordance to his Torah is the greatness of the degree of the Shekhinah. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build me a place that I may dwell amongst you. When he came into this world,
He wasn't interested in merely the physical structure. He was interested that through this he would dwell with Klal Yisrael.
So in what we said this evening, one can learn very great relevance of what the Beis HaMikdash is to us, even though realistically it does not stand today. And the importance, like we quoted from the Chofetz Chaim, Zochenu Berocha, that one must constantly study the Torah of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that whoever studies these halachos, it's as if he's fulfilling these halachos. We should be zeicher that because of soon we should see the binyan Beis HaMikdash, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, in its completion and in its great beauty.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.